Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and Happy New Year. Happy 2016, everybody. I have on my show today Joe Sullivan, who ran for mayor a couple of years ago, and he is here to talk about his views on the vote for the school budget that's coming up in February. So, Joe, Happy New Year. How do you feel about the vote?
Happy New Year to you, Cynthia, and to your listeners. Okay. As far as the vote, I'm glad that the voters defeated the $196 million high school renovation construction proposal in the last November 3rd general election. It was a small margin, but looking at the figures, it appears that about 1,000 voters didn't vote either way on it because the ballot proposition was on the reverse side of the ballot, and they probably forgot to turn it over. So even though the school board is saying that it was only a small margin, less than 100 votes, that defeated the proposal, I think it would have been much larger had voters thought about turning over the ballot and then voting on the reverse side of the ballot on the school board proposal. But I'm glad it was defeated, but I'm very unhappy that the school board has gone ahead now and rescheduled a revote on a so-called scale-back version, scaled it back by about $16 million. And I think it's still too high, and there's too many uncertainties about the proposal, a lot of questions that have to be answered.
Now, if you were making that the school the budget yourself or the proposed budget, you say that the scale down version is too high.
Yes.
What, in your opinion, in Joe Sullivan's opinion, what is acceptable?
Well, first of all, I think there's some things that have to be looked at. I looked at the demographic studies that this proposal is allegedly based on. And the high school, grades 9 through 12, had a peak enrollment of about 3,000 students in 2007-08. And then when you look at the last year's enrollment, well, it was 2013-14, excuse me, it wasn't last year's, the enrollment was around 2,200. So that's a decline of at least how many there, as far as you're looking at the situation from 3,000 down to 2,200. So that's an 800 decline. Well,
right.
Now about 500 of that went to, there's two charter high schools. So that accounts for it. But the situation, when I looked at the demographics, the enrollment in 9 through 12 is not going to increase that much in the coming decade. In fact, it's going to fall off. So with a declining enrollment, which it really is in 9 through 12, and with a 50% dropout rate, you really want to spend $16, $17 million on a new high school? I don't think so. When you look at the scale-back plan, it's all they did was they cut out the auditorium, they cut out the artificial turf on the track, and they're going to have grass instead, which is a smart idea, and they also did not expand the gymnasium. I don't think any of these improvements are really needed because you've got such a high dropout rate. Really, when you look at it, the actual student body in the high school is quite small.
What would be the solution then?
Well, the solution is to put this off any revote. Let me say a word about revotes. When a person runs for public office, the results of the November general election are final, aren't they? There are no reruns.
Right.
There should not be
right.
any reruns for school budgets and school referenda. They should be held at the general election time and then the vote being final until the next general election when another proposal
okay.
might appear. So I'm saying put this question off any revote at all on the high school renovation plan, put it off until the November 2016 election. And then what has to be done in the meantime, the school district has to address how are they going to resolve the 50% dropout problem. That's critical in when they're considering building or improving the high school in any way, the facility.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other factors at work, too. In the city of Albany, the city is reassessing properties, homeowners, this year. We don't know what that reassessment is going to look like. So any of the financial projections that the school board is presenting in their proposal are flawed. And then you're also having rezoning. The city is in the process of rezoning. And one of the proposals looks like it would divide up the single-family residential zones in Uptown Albany into different zones. In other words, the residential integrity would change, and that's going to have a property tax impact, which is going to impact the finances for the city government and the city schools. So there's two important variables that need to be looked at very closely and how they're going to impact the schools.
Besides you, who is an opponent of the election in February, has anybody else spoken out and say they're not inclined to have this vote?
I haven't heard anyone say that to this point, so I'm saying it now, and I'll say it again. And also, when you look at the existing February 9th vote as is proposed, the polls are open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., but just like every special referenda and school budget vote, there's only a limited number of polling places open. And generally, it's either one or, in some cases, two polls per ward. Now, that generally tends to discourage turnout, because voters, especially the elderly voters in the city, who are the people that are most likely to vote no, the homeowners, they look at this situation and they say, well, I'm not going out because I can't go to my regular polling place. So turnout is generally always lower in these school elections when they're held other than general election day.
Okay.
And there is a provision to vote absentee ballot, but it's too restrictive. You have to either be out of the county, or you have to be in a hospital, or incarcerated. What about people who just don't want to go out in the cold weather that are elderly? They may not have a car. It's not easy for them to get to a single polling place in a larger ward. So I think the absentee ballot requirements for voting absentee have to be liberalized and allow people that are elderly that don't want to leave their homes to be able to vote on an issue. And then there's
now,
also a question of... Yes?
Go ahead.
There's also a question of who's going to supervise the counting of these ballots. I really think all these elections should not be supervised by the school district. It should be the Board of Elections. It should have the accountability for all school board referenda votes, because it's like who's watching the chicken coop, you know?
Okay.
If it's the school district, which is self-serving, it's their election, and they're running the election, who supervises to make sure there's no fraud involved?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think the whole system has to change. What has to happen this year, if they would put it off until November, the Common Council and the mayor have to assume more responsibility for the city schools. They're called city schools. And we can't have two separate tax rolls, two different elections. This is just too prohibitive. So what I'm recommending that needs to be done, we've got to get after our Neil Breslin, our state senator, Pat Fahey and McDonald, our assembly members, and they've got to submit legislation and get it through that changes the whole structure of these school votes. Everything should be done on November elections. There should be no re-votes. All votes are final. And the mayor and the common council should assume responsibility and accountability for the operation and performance of the city schools. All
now,
of that can be accomplished by change. All of that can be accomplished by changing the state laws this session.
Okay. It was voted down in November.
Right.
Who made the decision to redo the vote in February?
The school board did. And I understand it was by a vote of 5 out of 7. One member voted no, and that was the newly elected school board member. And and then one member abstained.
Okay. So
it's a rush to. What I'm saying is, Cynthia, they're rushing too soon on this. They've got to go back to the drawing boards, and there are too many variables and factors that have to be explored very carefully. The enrollment trends, demographics, the high dropout rate, and the city reassessing and rezoning. All of these things have an impact on the actual cost and the ability to sustain this project. And with the likelihood that there really isn't going to be a dramatic increase, in fact, a decrease in high school enrollment in a decade, mm-hmm. we don't need to spend this much money on a school that'll be underutilized.
Okay. So you said that it would be up to Assemblyman McDonald and Assemblywoman Fahey. Has anybody brought this to their attention that you know of?
Well, no, I think I'm probably the only one that periodically posts recommendations for changing the whole system relating to school budget votes. And so they're not going to touch this unless there's some public pressure brought to bear on it. And also, the Common Council has to issue a home rule message. It really has to begin locally. We have 15 members of the Common Council. Who is standing
uh-huh.
up and asking any of the things I'm asking for? No one. The Common Council is essentially dominated by the mayor. It's a rubber stamp for the mayor. So why
right.
do we have 15 members of the Common Council? I don't think they're representing their districts. They're certainly not representing their people, their constituents.
Now,
if there's a
huge deficit in the city of Albany, and
right.
it has to be made up somewhere. It has to be made up somewhere.
Right.
Then there's going to be an increased burden for the taxpayers. I went to
yes.
a dinner party last night, and people complaining about the new fee for the trash.
They haven't felt the full impact of what's coming our way, because you're pointing out a very important situation here with a $12 million budget gap. How is that going to be closed? And of course, it's going to be closed as much as it can be on the backs of the homeowners, and that's going to drive people out of here. I've talked to any number of people who are ready to bail out of the city of Albany, especially from the taxpaying base of the city. When you look at the area around Buckingham Pond, our Buckingham Pond Crestwood Neighborhood Association, we pay the lion's share of the property taxes. And in fact, this is where the margin of defeat came in November 3rd. Take a look at the voting pattern. What you've got is you've got a situation with a city school system where most of the students come from homes that don't pay property taxes. And then the people that do pay the property taxes, you have largely an elderly population on fixed incomes, declining incomes. So they have less ability, and they're getting higher and higher tax bills. So people look around. You'll see a lot of homes for sale. I predict there's going to be a lot of homes for sale this year, because as people see where the city is heading, they're going to bail out. And what does this mean for the support of the city? Because the schools and the city government depend very heavily on the homeowners. And they're only about a third, I think it's about a third of the housing units in the city of Albany are owner-occupied. Now, renters have to also realize that they're not exempt from what the effect is of increased spending in the schools, because their rents go up.
Right.
I hear a lot of people that are renters complaining about their rents, too. So when you have a city that's got such a fiscal problem now, it's wise not to go out and spend more money. That's putting us on the road to bankruptcy.
Okay. So other than the talking to the state officials, what can people do?
Well, best thing they can do is anybody that is eligible to vote. I'm assuming that my plea for setting the school referenda aside until November 2016 general election is going to fall on deaf ears, because these people are hell-bent on ramming this proposal through. So they're just going to wear down the voters. So the best thing people can do is prepare for the worst and get out and vote on November 9th and vote no. Send a very clear message and really pay attention. And this means senior citizens, because a lot of senior citizens don't vote in these other than general elections, because they say, well, I don't have any kids in school, so how does it affect me? They don't connect the dots. It certainly affects them in their property taxes. And I hope that the school board will reconsider. I hope that there'll be enough public pressure. There's at least a month now for people to bring pressure to bear on the school board. And the mayor and the common council should step into this picture, too. Show some leadership. Because if they're in the process of reassessing and rezoning, they've got to see what is the impact going to be on this whole school construction issue and the debt that's going to be incurred. I think it's fiscally irresponsible to go ahead with this $16 million proposal.
So the mayor hasn't said anything about this at all.
Excuse me, let me correct myself. It's a $169 million proposal.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So the mayor hasn't said anything.
Well, I haven't heard anything. Have you?
No, and the common council as well.
Mm-hmm. So I think this is where people can get on a stick. They should really get after the mayor and the common council and say, we want you to join us in supporting laying aside any referendum revote until we have time to explore these crucial issues. And the crucial issues are the 50% dropout rate. How are they going to correct that? Because it really means that you don't really have the student body there with a 50% dropout rate. So what do you want to build a big a palace for not more than 1,000, maybe 1,200 students? And the second factor is the rezoning. What impact is that going to have on the city tax base? And reassessment. Uh-huh. What impact is that going to have on people fleeing the city because the taxes are too high? They're going to leave. And if too many people that are able to pay the taxes bail out, who's going to be left to pay the taxes? You have a situation, as I pointed out, where most of the student body, there's 9,000 students in the school district in the entirety. Well, most of them come from homes that don't pay property taxes. So who's going to pay for this? This is Albany becoming Detroit on the Hudson.
You think it's that bad?
I think it's bad. I think it's even worse than I'm saying.
Okay, and, I've got a question. Let's say the vote does go through on February 9th, and it's defeated again, and it's brought up again. How many times can they bring this up until they get what with this school board wants.
Yeah, they can keep browbeating the people and bringing it back again and again. But I think that's unwise. That's irresponsible. I've raised some very serious questions now that need to be addressed. And you've got discipline problems in the school. You've got dropout problems. You've got other schools that are available in the area now. What about the McGinn High School building that's closing down? I think they've got to get creative. And maybe you need a North High School and a South High School. You can take some of these existing buildings. There are a lot of vacant buildings around here. So they've got to go back to the drawing boards. And they've also got to do a better job of having discipline in the high schools. When you go by Albany High School, you see the police cars out there when school is letting out. Now, what kind of a message does that send when you have to have so many law enforcement people when school is letting out? You know, so I think there's a lot of homework that this school board has to do. And really, when you look at the school board, it's been largely nothing more than a training ground for people that want to run for public office. And that's got to stop. It's a farm team. And so there are a lot of questions that would be addressed here and a lot of issues that need to be aired and some changes in the law that had to be done. And that's going to require the Common Council to step up with home rule messages. And it's going to require our representatives, Breslin, Fahey, and McDonald, to put in the legislation and make sure it gets passed this year so that voters get a square deal in the city of Albany.
I'm going to offer a challenge to the school board members and also to Senator Breslin and Assembly people, Fahey and McDonald.
Yes.
I would like to have their opinions on hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter and share their thoughts. I want to challenge the school board plus the mayor and the Common Council to come on Focus on Albany, and maybe you could debate your issues and what you feel is important. And have them share their thoughts about what's going on.
Well, I think that's good, and I'd be willing to do that. But I think it's all up to the voters. You know, I happened to get up this morning early, and I turned on the television, which I seldom do, because I wanted to see what devastation had occurred anywhere in the world because of these jihadists and so forth. Fortunately, it was kept to a minimum as far as we know, but there was a clergyman on there, and he was talking about the book of Daniel and the end times. And it was quite interesting because he actually laid the blame for what's happening in the world around us, and especially in our own country, on the people for falling away from their religious beliefs and practices just falling away entirely from religion. And I think he had a good message there, because people now are looking at government as the salvation, and government is only us. And what the clergyman said is, he said, you have to start living your life more by religious principles, practicing your faith, putting it into practice, and the world is going to get better. Until then, it's not going to get better, and we're in very serious problem right now. This year of 2016 is a crucial problem for the survival of every individual that lives in this city. It's a question of survival for the city itself and for the country at large. And we've got to take some responsibility and participate more. People cannot just simply watch these television shows that are mindless or go chasing after ball games and all the rest of the stuff that they do. They've got to pay attention to business, because our survival is on the line.
Okay, so I'm going to challenge the Common Council, the school board, and the mayor again to hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter, and hopefully we can get a dialogue going about this. So,
that's right, and it's got to be more people than just us. It's got to be the public that listens to your program. They've got to get on the line and start calling and writing, get on the radio and start talking about it on, like, Talk 1300. They've got all kinds of programs where people can voice their opinions.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, and Happy New Year.
And thank you for your public service. Thank you for your public service.
Thank you. If you like the show, like us on Facebook, but more important, if you have any comments about this show, hashtag on Twitter, hashtag Focus on Albany, share your thoughts, and my challenge goes out again to keep this dialogue going. Thank you, Joe. Have a wonderful day, and have a wonderful new year.
And you and all your listeners as well. God bless us all. We need it. Thank you, Cynthia.
Thank you. Bye.